This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
All the time. If you want to complain and you want to call the show and you're not happy with what's happening, get involved. And I'm proud of a lot of the people listening to America Tonight because you took pictures of your vote stickers and you sent them to me. You can still send them to me at katedelaneyradio.com. Click on contact. I want to see them. I'm going to make a collage and post it. So excellent on all of you who voted. A couple of things we know. There are some poll hours that have been extended in some areas, so that meant late counts. There are so many races that are a little bit too tight to completely call. And then there's some definites that happened very early, like Senator Bernie Sanders won re-election in Vermont, and that was one of the earliest predictions. Tim Kaine won re-election in Virginia. And this is really a referendum on the president. A lot of voters are saying it's about Trump in both directions, typical of what we're seeing in the United States. So people who are happy with the president and what's happened so far in his couple of years in office are sticking with the Republicans, and they're in the red. Others say it's time for a sea of blue. So what we want to know when it's all said and done is how is this going to pan out for the Senate and what's going to happen when it comes to the House. The theory is, and Bob Ney, who joins us, a former congressman from Ohio, throughout the year and for years he's been doing that, he talked about it just the other day, that he felt from information he had from his buddies on the Hill that really the House would narrowly probably be the Democrats and the Senate would be the Republicans. And it's interesting because it's been all throughout the day, it's been about trying to size that up and figuring that out and how does it look and how is it breaking down and, you know, what may happen and some of these races like in Florida and Democrats taking the lead and then Republicans taking the lead. And, you know, it's all about those final tallies and counts. And I do love that poll hours in some cases were extended because I think anyone who wants to vote should have a chance to vote, barring the ridiculous. And I will tell you, I, of course, voted. And when it's always a proud moment for me. It just is. I love the United States. I love living here. I love doing this show and having the ability to have some of the guests we've had and be the voice of so many of you and so many of you calling this show. And with the clock winding down on these midterms, there were people that were having trouble voting. In some places, judges were even being asked to extend voting times, and that's why I referred to that, to make up for trouble earlier in the day because there were power outages because of excessive humidity and whatnot. Like an Indiana judge, for example, had to okay extended voting hours in Porter County. And why was that? Well, because normally they would have closed at 6, but they gave an additional hour and 2.5 hours to some precincts even because of what they were having and, you know, what the problems they were having with the weather, for example. And I say good on them. Good on the judge for doing that. Why not extend it? In North Carolina, voting in one precinct in Columbus County, polls didn't close until 9:20. They had an emergency meeting to talk about the extension because voting was disrupted for 2 hours in the morning when one kind of ballot was unavailable. So then that led to that delay. Voters were in line for a very, very long time. There was another site in North Dakota where at a North Dakota reservation they were running out of ballots, and this was in Pine Ridge so they were low, and they decided they were going to stay open a little bit later as well. You know, they had initially around 50 to 60, and then they were running down lower. I talked about the humidity. That was a North Carolina thing for sure. Not too far from where our satellite facility is, where I am in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. There's a place called Arlington, Texas. You know it because it's where the Dallas Cowboys play and the Texas Rangers. You've heard of Jerry World. Well, right there in Arlington, Texas, a voting location didn't have enough paper ballots for an entire precinct. So once that happened, then, you know, they talked to the Texas Secretary of State, and they made emergency ballots available so that voters could continue to cast their ballots. There were super, super long lines in Atlanta. Polling place in Atlanta had too few voting machines to start the day, so that was a problem there. And there were scanner issues in New York, believe it or not. So the New York Attorney General's communications director said that they got 200-plus calls and emails right before noon that poll sites had at least one scanner broken and it was a problem. Isn't it crazy? We always have this kind of stuff happening, whether it's midterm or, you know, you've got a presidential election wrapped into that, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, by the way, Vice President Mike Pence's brother is going to win his former House seat, so that is very, very big news. Two Pences in politics. There was a polling place in Knoxville, Tennessee. They didn't have power in the morning, and then the generator also failed. Can you imagine just scrambling, trying desperately to make things happen? And there were so many other series of things that didn't necessarily, you know, they were kind of out of the ordinary, that don't necessarily happen, but happened because of weather and power and lack of ballots and whatnot. I'll say it again. It's probably a hassle, and then you go through the poll workers and everything else, but the fact that, you know, you bring in a judge or you make a decision and you actually keep the places open later, I think is a really good idea, because more people, it seems like, are going out to vote. And I felt that way at my polling place. I went midday, and they told me it was just jammed with people in the morning, and that they told me, in fact, they'd never seen anything like it. And I think that's wonderful. I think it's great that people maybe are paying attention and getting involved in the process. If you don't like what's happening locally on the government, on the federal level, rather, then, you know, the name of the game is get involved. That's what has to happen, and more people are doing it, I think. And bravo, like I mentioned, on all of you who sent me those stickers. I think it's terrific. I really, 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 really do. To be sure, there are plenty of other things happening, believe it or not, although most of the focus, of course, is on what's happening in the election, without a doubt. Somebody asked me the other day, hey, you know, House of Cards is back on. Don't you watch House of Cards? And I'm like, House of Cards? Why do we have to watch House of Cards anymore? Because we have a House of Cards right in front of us with our own government. So there you go. What was really cool is there was some pictures that came out early in the day of a rainbow going over the U.S. Capitol on Election Day, right? So as I mentioned, no doubt there were some obvious things that happened pretty early in the day. There are some races that are too close to call, and we're going to dive into what's the latest on all of them, and it'll be interesting to see, when it's all said and done, what happens with the House and what happens with the Senate. Kate Delaney here on Election Night on America Tonight.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay day heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice. And it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com. Or call us, 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99 and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 44055. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 44055. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 44055.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
All right, once again, we're back at it here on Election Day. Many of you voted. I mentioned that before. I got your I Vote stickers. What's really cool is that the voting stickers were different depending on where you lived. I had the traditional. It was just a flag, and it said I voted on it. So I did that mid-morning and went with the other, who, by the way, will be back on the show in the next couple of weeks. I voted. And it was interesting because there were definitely a lot of people that had been through there. There were a lot of people campaigning outside, which you're allowed to do. It's a certain amount of feet away from the polling place. You know, they had signs up about not using your cell phone, and there were actually some people that tried to pull out cell phones, which, wow, I thought was crazy. There are some stories that are happening that are worth mentioning here, and one of them is Fox News denouncing Sean Hannity, because I don't know if many of you realize this or not, but he appeared at a campaign rally for Donald Trump, the president. Fox said that it didn't approve of the recent appearances by some of the personalities at Republican events. Sean Hannity has the president on the show, doesn't make a secret of their friendship, and he's, of course, a conservative commentator from Fox. Gene Pirro was also invited on the stage by the president during a rally in Missouri earlier in the week. They had short remarks supporting the Prez and Republican platform. Rush Limbaugh, also a conservative, obviously pundit, who doesn't work for Fox, introduced Donald Trump at the event. And, of course, Rush Limbaugh is actually from that area and incredibly popular, the godfather, really, I think, of talk radio, certainly of political talk radio. And Sean Hannity, by the way, did tweet out, in spite of reports, I'm going to be doing that show from Cape Girardeau and interviewing the president before the rally. This was from the other day. To be clear, I will not be on stage campaigning with the president. I'm covering the final rally for my show, something I've done in every election in the past. And then he tweeted out today, what I said in my tweet yesterday was 100% truthful. When POTUS invited me on the stage to give a few remarks last night, I was surprised yet honored by the president's request. This was not planned. So Fox News said that they don't approve of that. And they let the world know that they didn't approve of him going on the stage and doing it. I mentioned some of the polling problems. I mentioned that there were some elections that weren't toss-ups that we knew, that, for example, Mike Pence, Vice President Pence's brother, took his seat in the House in Indiana. There were other stories. I mentioned the rainbow over the U.S. Capitol. That was kind of cool, I got to say. If you haven't seen pictures of it, whatever site you log in it, go check it, because it's, I don't know, it's like a weird sign if you believe in those kind of things. And then there was a story about the first-time voter who died, an 82-year-old woman voted for the first time, and then dies knowing, I guess, they, you know what they were saying, her vote counted. And this was in North Texas where this happened. A family member drove Gracie Lou Phillips and let, you know, and her oxygen tank to cast an early vote in the midterms. This happened very close to where I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The great grandmother was transitioning to hospice care at the time, but she didn't let her failing health stop her from voting in Grand Prairie, Texas. And, you know, apparently she was a mom to 7 children in her lifetime, and she wanted her vote to be heard. She said, I'm going to vote this year, and my vote counts. Wow. Oh, how crazy is that? So she died on Monday, surrounded by family who, and you know, who knew her vote mattered. That story is, in one way, it is touching, isn't it? And in another way, it is incredibly, incredibly sad. Wow. Wow. And there's all kinds of stories about people voting. I talked to one of my neighbors today, and she said she drove 300 miles to take her father, who was 80, to vote for the first time, because he used to say, oh, it doesn't matter, and it's the same thing, and the politicians just argue. And she said she heard that her whole life growing up, and he went to vote. She took him to vote. He went and felt good about voting for the first time. So every vote matters. We've got more results that are going to trickle in, and I want to make sure that we get you up to date the best that we can as we move through this version of America Tonight. So I'm going to hit some odds and ends in the meantime. For example, people keep talking about the markets and the doom and gloom and some of the tech stocks that have been down in particular, but the Dow, the Nasdaq, and the S&P on election day, everything was, you know, was up. The Dow was up, then Nasdaq, like I said, and the S&P also up, all signs up on, in that case. So pretty interesting, I would say. People voted around, kind of voted around the markets. People who work tied to the market, let's put it that way. A friend of mine who works as a broker, they sort of took turns running out. Now, you know, not that they couldn't have done the early voting thing, but instead opted to do it the way they did it. I don't know. I found it pretty interesting. So the big question still looms: will the Democrats take back the House? It's too close to call. It's right there. It's right on the doorstep. What's going to happen with the Senate? If predictions hold true, then the Democrats would take the House and the Republicans would have the Senate. but could it be some kind of a wild swing? The Democrats, so you know the numbers, because I always say it's about the numbers, Democrats need to gain a net 23 House seats to get control of the House from the Republicans. And, you know, there was a lot of, heading into this election, there was really 70 contested races all the way from the East Coast of, you know, New Jersey to California. So a lot. If the Republicans remain in power when it's all said and done, then the president would be able to pursue a sweeping conservative agenda for the next 2 years of his presidency, including what he was talking about a lot heading into the election, the caravan and immigration policies and repealing the Affordable Care Act and environmental regulations, nixing some of those. Generally, the president's party loses seats in midterm elections. So if we go back in history, I dug out a few nuggets for you. In 2006, President G.W. Bush called the election results a thumping when his party lost 30 House seats and 6 Senate seats, which turned control of both chambers over to the Democrats and ushered in the first woman House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi. And President Barack Obama in 2010 called it a shellacking when the Democrats lost 63 seats, remember that, and control of the House and 6 Senate seats. And, of course, it was the rise of the Tea Party movement. Many of you involved in that who've called the show, Dan in Texas, I remember we had lots of conversations about that. So will we see a big swing here? It can happen, but the clock is ticking and ticking down on a couple of the races, and we knew they were going to be close, and that's why these votes matter, and that's why when we say every vote counts, boy, it's really true, because if it comes down to just a handful of votes and it's too close to call, that's when, I should have voted. That's when you kick yourself, because you'd like to see the election go a certain way, and you didn't vote, so it didn't happen. Bernie Sanders didn't have to worry about it. He's still back with his Vermont seat. I don't think that's a surprise, because he's popular in the area, and he didn't have much of a challenge there. There were other incumbents, however, that were facing some pretty big challenges. And is it about the agenda? Is it health care? Is it immigration? I think it can be a referendum on that, like I mentioned, and who the president is and how people feel about that. But the Democrats picked up the first House seat in Virginia. When voting results, you know, the tabulations started to come in, and I don't think that one was a surprise. So Democrat Jennifer Wexton defeated the Republican Congresswoman Barbara Comstock of Virginia. That gave the Dems, like I said, their first pickup in the midterms. So there were winners that have, you know, been declared, and like I said, Bernie Sanders was certainly one of them. Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat from Virginia, also won re-election. Hal Rogers, Republican from Kentucky, won re-election over the Democratic challenger, Kenneth Stepp. So long lines, malfunctioning, that's pushed some of the decisions back. Even in Arizona, I was talking to somebody from Arizona today. Voters in one town outside of Phoenix showed up to vote only to find the polling place had been foreclosed upon the day before. Whoops, I guess we can't vote there. All right, hang with us. We're going to have some more results. That's coming up next here on America Tonight.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A blue wave? Maybe not, but there is a likelihood, according to many projections, that Democrats are going to gain control of the U.S. House with around a dozen of the two dozen races they need to do so already in their pocket. CNN's projecting that Dems could end up with 10 or more seats than they need to regain control. The first Democratic House race to flip a district saw Virginia's Jennifer Wexton beat Republican incumbent Barbara Comstock, Wexton already claiming victory.
You made it happen when you gave your time and your treasure and your passion to this campaign, and that is why I stand before you tonight as your Congresswoman-elect.
There's no sign Dems will be able to regain the Senate. Not unexpected, former Republican presidential hopeful Mitt Romney wins a Senate seat in Utah. Election night coverage on USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was.
All right, finally, we have some solid results for everybody to make sure that it was okay. I waited till the very last minute. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney on this election eve slash morning here on America Tonight across America. It's pretty interesting. The Republicans kept the Senate. We talked about that, thinking that the Republicans would keep the Senate and that perhaps the Democrats would have the House. So what one of the things that was interesting is Ted Cruz, the incumbent senator, the Republican from Texas, who, as you know, ran for president, beat one of the rising stars of the Democratic Party, Beto O'Rourke, although it was a pretty darn close race, and it became pretty interesting and shows that in some of the areas like Dallas and Travis County in the suburbs, there were more people that were undecided voters, or they were Republicans who actually voted for Beto O'Rourke. But still, in the end, no matter, Ted Cruz wins his seat back, retains his seat, in other words. And what an interesting race that was to watch, and one that could have flipped the Senate depending on what you know, happened there. All right, there's some other interesting races, of course, that were close. Claire McCaskill out. How about that? That's a big beat. And this is one that a lot of people expected that she might not hang on in Missouri. So Missourians have spoken, and they said no. So she loses that seat to Josh Hawley, who you know, really made a hot run at it. And again, this is as we still have some more precincts, but I'm going to say that it's pretty safe to say that. And then the U.S. Senate seat in North Dakota, Heidi Heitkamp loses her seat. Kevin Kramer, the Republican, wins it in North Dakota. And her seat was, of course, one of the most vulnerable of all the Democrats in the Senate. So with these projections that I'm giving you, I feel confident in making the statement that, yeah, the Senate is retained by the Republicans. They have the numbers. So isn't that interesting? And then, you know, this was a big one, too. You know, Senator Blackburn, who's been a guest on America Tonight in the past, the Tennessee senator, kept her seat because there was some thought that she was heavily being challenged and that might be tough for her to hang on, but she did hang on, wins the seat, and that is a big one. That was a competitive race for the Republican representative, rather, Marsha Blackburn, who is a hardline conservative. There's no question about it. And remember, this was a state that President Trump handily, easily won in 2016. So Representative Blackburn stays where she is, and she becomes the state's first female senator over Phil Bresden, a former Democratic governor. So how about that? So going from rep to first female senator, that is a pretty big deal. She campaigned, or Trump campaigned with Blackburn over the weekend in Chattanooga, pitching her as a foe of the liberal agenda. She lashed out at the former Democratic governor, an ally of Hillary Clinton's, and the seven-term Republican congresswoman, you know, now goes on to this new role. And that, again, was a hard, hard fought race. So how about that? And then there was this seat in Colorado where Crow beat Kaufman to win the Republican seat there, and there was a lot of conversation here about this one too, that this was going to be much tighter and that there were waiting till the last minute as to what was going to happen here. And you know, there's always so much speculation, but the Democratic attorney and first time candidate Jason Crow successfully unseated the Republican incumbent Mike Kaufman in the 6th district. So he pulled away with a victory in a, you know, an upset that was probably helped by a last minute infusion of cash from outside groups into a district that once was probably out of reach. So a few trading places elements going on in the election. This is some of what we predicted. This is some of what we thought was going to happen. And I think what's so interesting is how many people went out to, you know, vote. And then the youngest woman ever elected to Congress is a woman who really shook things up in her area, where there was so much conversation that age and experience and, you know, whatnot. I think anymore, the popularity sometimes, as we have seen, Trump's experience, although in mentioning Blackburn, Marsha Blackburn, there certainly was experience there. As I said, she had, you know, seven terms. So in running for Senate, she had the experience. But Ocasio-Cortez becomes the youngest woman ever elected to
Congress, and I think there's going to be a lot of conversation about that and about what happened there. I mentioned the Beto O'Rourke campaign was pretty strong against Ted Cruz. That was also heavily contested and fought battle and lots of headlines. And in the case of the youngest woman elected to Congress in New York, the nominee won her first general election race pretty easily, and she just turned 29. So she will now hold the distinction of that, of inching out the competition, and she defeated New York Democratic Representative Joe Crowley in the primary election earlier in the year. And Crowley was the number four Democrat in the House and was even at one point seen as a potential speaker. People talked about that. So Ocasio-Cortez, a Latino, has become a big left-wing voice, a huge, left-wing voice. And there were a lot of people that came out and campaigned for her. I think part of that was part of the help that helped her, and her no holds barred, Alexandria is her first name, kind of approach just won over the people in New York. So, boy, isn't it interesting to see where some of this has ended up, and the people that are hanging on to seats and those that then took them over. And I mentioned Jason Crow unseating the Republican incumbent, and Claire McCaskill going down. It depends on, and I say this, all politics, I mean, let's face it, all politics are really local, and it comes down to that. I mean, it used to be how much money was spent, and maybe there still is some of that, how much money was spent on campaigns, and how much did you canvass, and who did you reach, and all of that is being part of what elected somebody or didn't. But I think every state is unique, and every position that we're talking about had its nuances, which, New York, the youngest, why? People were frustrated, and it was the right kind of voter that would go out and vote for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So she almost had them from the beginning and just pulled on the right strings, whereas Heidi Heitkamp lost them from the beginning because it was amazing that she was elected in the first place, and then what had just happened with the Supreme Court nomination and with Brett Kavanaugh, what happened during that time and how her constituents reacted, you knew that she was in a very, very precarious situation. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened when her constituents went to go and vote. So I go back to the same thing. It's not a blue wave. It's definitely not a blue wave. It's I call it a mixed bag, is what I would say. I think this election was a mixed bag, and it's tough to throw a blanket over, though. But some of the big predictions that heading into this, people were talking about, did not happen. Pretty much what Bob Ney and I talked about weeks and months ago is what we're seeing ultimately unfold, that some popular politicians were narrowly elected. Some other politicians were booted for some of what, how they voted and what they did in the last couple of years. And this is it's a nation divided because we're so polarized. I talk about it all the time that it feels like sports teams to me, and I guess that's just the continuation of that. The direction of what the country is doing, and there were exit polls. What party should control the U.S. House? Should Congressers even question? Should Congress impeach President Trump? Do you think Americans politically? Do you think Americans are X, Y, Z? And I actually have some of that information. I want to hit a couple of those key points. In fact, as we continue through here on election night, where I'm giving heavy results and telling you a little bit more about what happened, because you wanted that, you wanted just simply a deeper dive, we're going to go there. In fact, we're going to go there on the flip side, so hang with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Lumines. The Lumines anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Tail end of this hour for America Tonight, election coverage, Kate Delaney, 2018 exit polls. Boy, there was a lot of interesting information that came out of various exit polls. So in looking at that, just to explain, exit polls we know are surveys of random sample of voters taken after they leave their voting location. And how do you get the exit polls? Somebody asked me that today. Telephone interviews, absentee or early voters. In some states, pollsters use the info and assess how voters feel. So let's run through some of that. Let's look at some of what I found out earlier. So when we look at some of the information, views of Donald Trump as president, strongly approve. Republicans say 94%, somewhat approve. Democrats 24%, Republicans 74%. And if you go down to strongly disapprove, well, of course, 94% are Democrats. It's party lines, and 4% are Republicans. So, you know, and in the no answer category, very small percentage. Then there was your vote for U.S. House today to what? Support Trump. Democrats, 4%, 95% Republicans, you get the gist here, oppose the president, 38%, oppose Trump, 94% Democrats, 4% Republicans. You know, all this data that I can give you is pretty much along party lines. How about this? Should Congress impeach Donald Trump? So, Democrats, 92% say yes. The no's, 78% Republicans. How about this? Direction of the country. Maybe you answered an exit poll. Direction of the country. 86% Republicans say right direction. Wrong direction, wrong track. 85% Democrats. And I'll give you a couple of other ones. I liked this one. Most important issue facing the country. I think that's a great exit question, just to hear what you get. So healthcare, 76% of Democrats say that. That's the most important issue. Republicans, 23%. Immigration, 24%. Democrats, 74%. Republicans. Economy, 62% say that's the most important issue facing the country. Republicans, 34% Democrats. Gun policy. Now you know how this is going to be versus blue versus red. Red being Republicans, 29% said that was the most important issue, 70% of Democrats. So Democrats say absolutely number one was health care, second was gun, third was economy, and the bottom was immigration. For Republicans, to break it down easy for you, 74% immigration. Economy was 62%, 29% gun policy, 23% health care. And that's just kind of a sampling of what some of the, you know, what some of the exit polls were. I'm going to give you one other one because I thought this was kind of fascinating. Family's financial situation versus 2 years ago. Better today, 22%. Democrats said 22% better, 77% Republicans. Worse today, 80% Democrats, only 17% Republicans. About the same, 69% Democrat, 29% Republicans. So Republicans say much better the financial situation versus 2 years ago. Now, these would be certainly exit poll questions that are based on, let's be honest, how you think the president is doing. That's, you know, that's what the ebb and flow of all of that really means. And just to reiterate, the Senate goes to the Republicans, and the House is, back and forth. And the big races, like Ted Cruz, retains his seat in the Senate. And he does that in a very tight race, though, with Beto O'Rourke. So a little bit of a push, a bigger push for O'Rourke, and who knows what would have happened. But regardless, it doesn't matter how close. He is the winner. I think Democrats will take something out of that, and I think Beto O'Rourke becomes even more of a rising star, probably, in the Democratic Party, although he already was. He already had become that, certainly on the campaign trail. Then we've got a couple of races that are still at this point so close. I don't want to call them because I think it could change whether the Republican or the Democrat wins Florida governor. Is it DeSantis who is the Republican, or Gillum who is the Democrat? Is that the percentage is so low, and I mean almost all precincts are in, but this is going to be one that they're going to look at, I think. And interesting enough, the Florida Senate also very close, although it looks like Rick Scott should get that seat narrowly. But again, can't completely call it. It has not been called. So I think that can switch as we're kind of going back and forth here. But I think it's just that close, you know. And so those are two interesting ones coming out of Florida for sure. There's no doubt about that. There were some challenges, and I mentioned that there was certainly some interesting referendums, I think, coming out of states where they were frustrated by what their representative had done, like Claire McCaskill, didn't, you know, just the people in Missouri spoke, and it wasn't going to be Claire McCaskill. And, you know, that is based on some of, you know, the way McCaskill, some of what she had to say, that would be definitely anti some of the Trump policies, of course, you know, given the party she represents, etc. And Missourians went in a different direction. So I'll say it again, some thought it might be a blue wave. It was definitely not a blue wave. Certainly some elected and some surprises, but Republicans control the Senate. Democrats are close to taking the House from Republican control. So then you've got a split. And I don't know that that's necessarily a surprise. This is what we thought and what we predicted would probably happen. And so, you know, lo and behold, it is what it becomes. By the way, I got a bunch of emails from some of you, so I want to make sure that I quickly, I'm going to do two different segments, a few little mailbag things. One is, this one was from Bruce in Texas, and he said, Kate, I love the show, listen to it, and you were dead on about Beto O'Rourke and Ted Cruz. I honestly think it was kind of exciting that it was close. Good on him for making it interesting. Ted Cruz was my guy, but I don't agree with everything he does, and certainly there were some Republicans who didn't like what he did, and I think that's probably why O'Rourke appealed to probably some of the younger people and maybe even some of the undecideds. What do you think? I think you nailed it. I think that some people were very frustrated with Cruz, and normally even people who would vote for Cruz, and they decided they, you know, to go in a different direction. And there were probably some scary moments, perhaps, for people in the campaign, for the Cruz campaign, in the beginning of the night. But it was the precincts, you know, that were counted. And then when they started to get out into the other areas in East and West Texas, it made a huge difference. And I think for Beto O'Rourke's people, it shows that he made a dent, and it didn't become a blue wave, but it certainly became very, very interesting. By the way, Democrat Laura Kelly was elected governor of Kansas, a pretty deep red state that favored Trump in 2016. So there's another switch in a different direction. And I mentioned the Florida races that are incredibly close, that are coming down to the nitty-gritty. And this is what happens on election night. You have some early ones, like, you know, Bernie Sanders easily retains his Senate seat in Vermont. And then you have some wonky kind of votes that end up being counted late, or we had some weird things happen where polls stayed open later, and frankly, some pretty interesting results, you know, emerge in the end. And the case is to be made as to what will both parties do moving forward as you start to address a different kind of voter, because I think the really younger voters, the so-called Zs, are going to be the kids that go out and vote when they turn 18, much more than the millennial vote, which was kind of a little bit tepid, if you will. And again, thank you for all of you who sent me notes to tell me you voted, and good on you. No matter how you voted. Bravo to that. And thanks so much for listening to this hour of America Tonight. If you want to hit me up, you can. KateDelaneyRadio.com, KateDelaneyRadio.com. And we'll see you again on another version.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.